Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 4 of Crave Arts Presents The Future of Film, featuring intimate interviews with the best emerging filmmakers from around the world. My name is Tom Oliva, and I am co-founder and executive director of the All-American High School Film Festival and Crave Arts, dedicated to discovering, showcasing, and uniting the next generation of visual storytellers and content creators. In October of 2022, we celebrated our 10th annual festival. 10 years in, and our community is thriving. A testament to the power of believing in the arts and the emerging artists that share their stories with us. The collective spirit of our organization, our community, and all of our year-round initiatives is rooted in a shared passion. A passion to breathe life into stories, to collaborate with others who share your vision, and to create content at the highest level. Content with the ability to move viewers emotionally, to inspire unprecedented style and craft, and to impact real change. Some quick updates from the All-American Bulletin Board as we gear up for our 11th annual festival in New York City. The 2023 festival will take place in October in New York City, and submissions are open via Film Freeway, with the final deadline being July 3rd. You can head over to hsfilmfest.com to get the latest news and updates about the 2023 festival, including our 2022 highlight reel, downloadable 2023 budget guides, planning guides, and posters, because it's never too early to begin planning your All-American adventure. A friendly reminder that we're offering a new custom category this year, your chance to make an original music video for one of four songs by AWOL Records artist MXM Tune. More information can be found at hsfilmfest.com/custom-categories. Say that three times fast. And of course, if you plan on attending the fest in New York City, we highly recommend competing in our film invitational competitions, the world's premier on-site student filmmaking competitions in New York City. We offer a variety of authentic, real-world production experiences for student filmmakers and video production programs. Your chance to crew up and produce a film in just 10 weeks. Registration opens in May. Okay, so keeping with our tradition of inviting the previous year's big winner of Best Overall Film to the show, today's guests, Jasper and Lucas Fletcher, simply blew us away with their 2022 film submission, Rabbit. Anyone who has seen their ethereal, moody, visually stunning rumination on turning 18 knows that these twin brothers have some serious chops. Anyone who hasn't seen it, I suggest hitting pause and going to watch it right now. Perhaps the most surprising thing I learned speaking with these two after the festival was that this was their first real film effort, a bit of a production miracle that almost never came to fruition. But make no mistake, this is student filmmaking at the highest level, a testament to the natural talent on a variety of levels and an unrelenting fever for film that settled in their bones, affirming a deep-rooted passion for all things visual storytelling. Simply put, these guys get it. Their ability to build an atmosphere rich with cloaked but palpable meaning is a hallmark of their considerable style. A continuous and calculated crescendo of dreamlike moments that aptly reflect the seemingly quiet but secretly screaming reality of the human condition. If I was building a time capsule of what it means to reflect on a turbulent adolescence and the awkward ascension to adulthood, their film Rabbit, with all of its tides, internal turmoil, and unrelenting gravity, would surely be included. Consider the imagery that opens the film. An angry, restless, frothy shot of the sea from above. A natural force, untamable and wild. A forbidding parking lot by the coast. One lone car in a vast empty space under a gray, darkening sky. And then our protagonist, sprinting down the beach toward the unknown, shirt open and flowing like a sail that just might catch the wind and help him soar above the strife. The brutal visuals engulfed in the roar of waves crashing ashore as the VO arrives. I'm supposed to turn 18 today. As if this milestone is by no means guaranteed, Only we don't know if he's running away from it or to it. And that's just the first minute. This is a journey you feel compelled to complete. The punching edit and gripping sound design drawing you deeper into the character's desperate personal island, even as quirky and admirable friends try to lift him from his despair. But the past, with the pull of an ocean of memory, won't loosen its grip. You can feel the sea swell in Lucas's enviable performance, his melancholy mirrored by the pebbles being washed away on the beach, arriving and disappearing all at once. The balance of the aloof and intimate grows through the revealing voiceover until there's nowhere else to go but an inevitable confrontation of the self. A drowning, a baptism, or a return to the comfort of a womb. It's all there waiting for your senses to embrace, interpret, and perhaps maybe even understand. And man, oh man, is it really nice to look at. I am honored to be joined by Lucas and Jasper today. Welcome, guys. I'm sorry I'm talking so much, but I have nice things to say. How are you?
Well, we're great. And let me say that was poetry, Tom. No one has said anything. We're very flattered that no one has said anything so beautiful about it. I don't know. I'm in awe.
That was awesome.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that you appreciate it. I appreciate your work, obviously. And it's my job to be the one that notices these things about these films. And I'm happy to do it. It's funny, I guess your work informs my cadence and it makes my job easier because I just watch, I watch it again and I think like, what do I see? What do I feel? Why? And then I do my thing and write it to give people an introduction. And hopefully everyone's like not even listening to us right now, right? They're on their laptops going to watch it. I hope so. We're going to get into it. I'm very excited to be with you guys. This is my first podcast interview with twins. So, it's a bit of a milestone. We're going to get into the whole thing. But first, we're going to get the conversation going with a little exercise we call personal portrait. In this quick reply exercise, I'm going to say a word or ask a question and just ask you to respond with the first thing that comes to mind, okay?
Okay, should we alternate between us?
I'll just ask. I'll direct questions. Perfect. All right, Perfect. So now since you're asking, Jasper, this one's for you.
Okay.
If you could have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee with caramel and cream.
You know, what a luxury that would be.
That really would, yeah.
When's the last time you had one?
This morning.
Oh, okay. So you're indulging.
Yeah.
Lucas, what about you? You need a lifetime supply of...
I'm going to think of something better in like 5 minutes, but right now I just want to say like peanut M&Ms.
Oh, yes. Big fan right here. Yes.
So good.
Yep. Might not be good for your waistline. But
no,
yeah, it's worth it. If that's the only thing you ate though, maybe,
there's protein in a peanut.
Yeah. I've never tried. Maybe I'll go on the peanut M&Ms diet. Okay. Moving on. Lucas, back to you. Sure. Imagine you could teleport anywhere. Where would you go right now?
Oh, well, maybe Ireland or somewhere where it's like those big sheer cliffs that's like green and then there's the ocean. Very epic.
All right. Can you just like stand up slightly so we can see your sweater? Because it all fits so perfectly. The red hair, strawberry blonde, I guess, maybe.
Yes.
The sweater. Okay. All right. Excellent. That sounds really nice to me as well. Jasper, you're teleporting. Where are you going?
I am teleporting to the beach in Northern California, specifically Point Reyes Station.
Yeah. Very nice. All right, Google it, everybody. Let's get some visuals on that. Okay, Lucas, back to you.
Oh, boy.
What is the weirdest thing you have in the room with you right now that you can say on camera for a high school audience?
Okay. Yeah, no, we're good. I have a... Oh, no. Well, usually I have a mannequin head that I bought at Goodwill in my room, I can't find it right now. I don't see it. Maybe it's under my bed.
What do you do with it? Just like stare into its eyes, or do you dress it up?
I like to dress it up. I have lots of hats. I have a pilot hat that I put on it sometimes, or a winter hat. We get spunky. I think that's pretty weird.
That is. I didn't know that would be the answer, so it's unexpected. If you ever come across another one, you know, pick it up for me and ship it. I'll pay you for it.
I'd love to. I will.
All right. Jasper's still looking around. He's like, I have so many weird things. Which one do I mention? What do you have there?
Well, one sec. Let me grab it.
Oh, great. That's right. This is a video podcast now.
I think there's not a whole lot of weird things in this room, but the thing that comes to mind is this mug that I bought at Goodwill that says shopping girl, and it it has a shopping girl on it, and it looks like it was made by someone, was a personal project and maybe abandoned, but I love it. I drink out of it sometimes.
That's your go-to. Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I'm using my favorite mug as well. I just had a double espresso, which is kind of traditional. Oh. This is from my son, I don't know, years ago, but I mean, it gets me every time. You know?
Wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm getting a Goodwill thread here. And obviously, you know, we could just talk about all of this nonsense forever, but we want to get to your film stuff. So let's keep rolling here. A little more serious. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I say collaboration?
For me, the biggest collaborative relationship that I have in my life is with my twin brother. And so when I think of collaboration, I think of sitting on the couch at 1 a.m., you know, in the dark because the sun has set since we've been sitting there and just like hashing it out, getting really excited. You know, we have these moments of getting really excited and we like stand up and then we're like, that's when you know, like you've had a good idea. And, you know, we kind of like feed off of each other's energy in like a really cool way.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay. We're going to come to you, Lucas, with the next one. And maybe I should go to Jasper based on our pre-record conversation, but what about film school? First thing that comes to mind.
Well, I think of like all the names of the film schools that I have in my head, but, you know, I also think of like studying art, and I think of all the cool people that I've met through my own filming stuff. Yeah, I don't know if I have like a word.
Fair enough. No, that's a great answer. Jasper, anything to add?
I would say, maybe this is not the direction that you were hoping I would go with this, but I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of film school is expensive.
Ooh, okay, we're going to get into that. That's a good answer.
Yeah. But.
Okay. What about networking?
I think of TikTok. I think of social media currently. But that's just maybe a personal thing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We're going to get into it. Yeah. Anything to add, Lucas?
I don't know. I have a friend that's really into being like, networking is your net worth or something. There's some kind of quote they like to say, and that's where I went, but yeah. Okay.
All right. let's see. The most important thing a film can do is, Jasper?
Is make you feel something real.
Lucas?
Let you escape. Let you, like, leave the room you're in and go to a different world. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lucas, favorite thing to eat for breakfast?
Oh, that's super easy. It's basic. Just, like, toast and butter.
Like, it's simple.
Lots of butter, but yeah, like crispy toast, butter. That's it.
All right. Hey, that keep it simple, keep it healthy. I like it. And Jasper, is it the iced coffee, or is there actually like something substantial that goes with it?
Well, of course, you have to accompany it with a cinnamon raisin bagel toasted with plain cream cheese. Also from Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow. I mean, you guys are lined up every morning. Have you seen the new little like mini bagels that are like already stuffed with cream cheese that they have?
Yes, but I haven't actually tried it, but I'm curious about it.
Okay. Well, I will give you a quick review. I'm not like a Dunkin' Donuts guy. I'm not a huge Dunkin' fan. My wife every morning, she's one of those.
Whoa,
and I guess
whoa,
she gets
whoa.
These like, hey, to each his own. Whoa. To each his own. So she comes home with like, whenever she has a coupon, she'll come home with like a coffee for me and then like whatever gimmick, right? And so she's been bringing home the last couple of weekends, these little, like, they're like little puffs, like this big. And it's like an everything bagel, but inside is already the cream cheese. I have to say, pretty good. I would try it. Yeah, wow. Gimmicky, okay. but kind of like, I don't know. It's very cute.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Cute on the taste buds, cute to look at, you know. Yeah. Okay, final question. All-American High School Film Festival. First thing that comes to mind.
A surprise, a shock.
Cool, that's good.
Really fun, yeah. Like big and like cool and exciting. I don't know. A little overwhelming, awesome. Maybe. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that we can elicit such a response. Okay, so, you know, we're having our fun, but I want to dive a bit deeper into all things Jasper and Lucas, storyteller, filmmaker. It's wonderful to reconnect with you today. We did have a chance to talk after the festival, but I'm glad we can do it here on the show. Let's start with where you are currently and what you're up to as it relates to film, if anything. Lucas, where are you right now?
Well, I am in between semesters of college still. So I'm like loafing away at home. In Western Massachusetts, excited for my next semester to start up. And in terms of film, we have a couple projects that we're like working on simultaneously. I'm sure Jazz will go into depth about them as well, but working on a documentary right now that's almost done. We're like writing and rewriting a short film script that we're hoping to shoot early summer. And yeah, we're starting to think about like conceptualizing a feature, but that's far off. Yeah.
And these projects that you're working on, it sounds like you're keeping quite busy, which is very exciting to me. This is all independent of anything that you're doing at school. This is just like you and your brother after hours grinding it out.
I don't know. I've done some film stuff at school, but most of it has been out of school.
Very cool. And Jasper, where are you right now and what are you working on? I have to grab my pen. Sorry.
Okay. I'm at Wesleyan University right now in Middletown, Connecticut. My second semester just started. I haven't done anything film related in college. I mean, I haven't made anything in college yet. We haven't taken any production classes, only studies classes. But yeah, like Luke said, we are almost done editing. I'm editing this documentary that we made that we shot over the course of kind of like the last 6 months. Started like writing and rewriting this short film script.
So a documentary is a dramatic shift from the work that I know from you two, Rabbit, which is clearly a narrative film, experimental, dramatic narrative film. What made you decide to want to make a documentary?
Well, it's maybe a funny story. We'll
let you know if it's funny or not.
Maybe it's not funny. So at the end of this past summer, I was going through a breakup and I kind of felt like I wanted to, knowing myself, I felt like I needed to lose myself in a project to kind of help with, distract me maybe from the other things that were going on. And so, coincidentally, our family, we have a big family. We're the oldest of seven kids.
Oh, wow.
And we were moving from a house that we've been living in for a long time to this like big, like kind of old bed and breakfast that hadn't been a bed and breakfast in a couple of years. And it was like, you know, every kid was going to have their own room for the first time ever. And it was like, it was kind of insane that it was happening. And so I thought it would be fun to try to document it in kind of an authentic, real way that kind of you don't get to see maybe because, you know, and just being part of the family, like you get a level of closeness and vulnerability and like, there's a level of comfortability with that the subjects have in front of the camera, just because they know the people that are filming them so well that I thought would be kind of interesting to investigate and kind of see where it went. And I don't know, it's been a crazy process. I think we went into it in the way into making the documentary in the way that you're absolutely not supposed to, which was like, we had our narrative in our brain. Right. Like we like, here's the beats we're hitting. Right. We even like recorded ourselves saying stuff that like helped push the story along. And then kind of what we realized as we kind of filmed more and we started piecing it together, which by the way, has like been the most frustrating, difficult thing ever, trying to piece together a documentary for anyone who's done it. I'm sure you know, but we kind of realized that our narrative that we were pushing at the beginning of it was not the narrative that the footage really was saying. And yep. So I think it was sad, but also really exciting to kind of let go of that and to try to kind of really just see what the footage was offering to us.
It sounds amazing, actually. I can only imagine. I can only imagine being in a family of seven, and then this sort of, especially at this stage of your life, right, to be moving into a new home when you're in college it just seems sort of traumatic and exciting, I guess. I love the fact that you have such intimate access because it is your family. So many things about it make sense. It sounds really interesting to me. Just moving into a big old house alone, right? It's just kind of like every room has its like story and secrets and all that good stuff. But I've heard what you're saying a million times. It's something that we teach. Don't be afraid to have the narrative shift because it often does with a documentary. But to hear that you were so locked in and then it inevitably happened anyway is really interesting. Lucas, can you tell me with this documentary, does it have a working title?
Yes. The current working title is When We Move. Ah. And yeah.
Can you tell me about like your specific roles on this project? Like how do you and Lucas work together? Is it just sort of like all collaboration or do you have certain strengths that you sort of lean towards?
Well, with a documentary, it's tricky because, you know, you're not really writing it. And so there's less roles that we found that you kind of need to fill. But, we've co-directed it, like conceptually. I mean, like we run every interview together. Right. And it's like the questions that we alternate who kind of asks questions, not like religiously, but you know, we're mm-hmm. alternating who's asking the questions. We both have shot it, you know, it's kind of like, whoever wants to go shoot something for it goes and shoots something for it. And then I'm the one editing it, but like, you know, whenever I have a snippet to export and send over to Luke, we're getting his feedback about everything.
Yeah. Anything to add, Lucas?
Yeah, no, I think Jazz said it pretty perfectly. Jazz is doing a lot of like the dirty work in there with the editing. And I'm like, yeah, it looks good. Or I would change this maybe, you know, which is good and fun. And we're working well together on this one.
Yeah, it sounds like you have for a long time. And so nothing wrong with being the executive producer on it. You're the money. I mean, you tell him this is good or this isn't good. And you'd be tough on him. Who is older, by the way? Who popped out first?
I am 45 seconds older.
See, so that's why he's barely. The boss right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ride that wave. Yes. Well, it's really cool to hear about this documentary. And I certainly hope that you will make sure that you share it with me. Do you have any specific goals for it? Or is this just sort of a personal project to keep you fine-tuned in the industry?
Well, I think in terms of goals, it's kind of hard to say because this project has transformed so much since we started making it. I don't think we have any idea how it'll be received. You know, I mean, we're very biased as the people that are making it and you know, it's our family, right? So it's very personal to us. Like we are emotionally impacted by the things that are being said and shown in a way that I have no idea if it'll resonate with anybody else. Right. I'm excited about the way that we're kind of telling, I mean, it's shot almost like a narrative film. I mean, it's like, we've put a lot of thought into the way that it's framed. And I think it feels cinematic, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And
it does.
I think I'm excited about like kind of the intersection between the narrative and the documentary filmmaking and kind of like, can we make something that's like, you know, I think sometimes documentaries can be kind of slow and dry. And, you know, the filmmaking, not to criticize documentary filmmakers, but the filmmaking is almost secondary to the story. And I kind of, you know, and maybe this is just because we're telling a story that's not all that original or interesting, that like, maybe we're trying to compensate with having interesting filmmaking.
Yeah. And I think that's just an innate part of your style from the limited work that I've seen by you guys. That's just sort of always going to be a part of anything that you make. But you're absolutely right with documentary filmmaking. And I don't think it's insulting anyone, especially anyone making documentaries now, to readily admit that the genre had to change, and it did. And because it did, they've become more popular than ever before. These are not book reports, right? These are not news reports. These are not a series of, you know, interviews with experts. This is visual storytelling that happens to be often interviews, but not traditionally expressed, right? And documentary films feel more narrative now. They feel more experimental now. There are no rules. And I think that's what's making it such an exciting genre. And I can't wait to see how you guys embrace the genre. So certainly best of luck on that project, and don't be a stranger as it comes down to the wire. If you need someone to take a look at one of the final cuts, I would be honored.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's get back to the college thing, the film school thing. Lucas, I'll start with you. Why did you decide on the particular school? What has your experience been like?
Yeah. So I'm enrolled in Bennington College right now, which is a super small private college in Southern Vermont. A lot of reasons went into my decision. One of them, the biggest one probably being, they gave me a lot of financial aid, basically a full ride, which I needed. And they're super weird, super funky. It's kind of like a design your own education kind of school. Like, we don't have traditional majors. You kind of like write essays about like what you want to learn and what you want, how you want to learn it. And then teachers are like, yeah, that sounds good. Like, let's help you do that. Which is like not for everyone, like definitely not for everyone. Sometimes I feel like it's not even for me all the time, but I've had mostly positive experience with that side of it. And then there's film there. It's not like a film school kind of film situation, but there are film classes that I've taken. And the biggest, most exciting part about the film there has been it's been a lot of creating and making. Whereas I know sometimes it's like, now we're going to watch films and talk about them, which I love to do, but maybe not when I'm like paying to be there, or like, you know, because I'm so much into the creation of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. For folks who haven't seen Rabbit, you know, you're the lead character in the film. I think that your acting in the film is a huge asset. You know, you seem like a natural on camera. Are you getting a chance to also do some performing while you're there?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm doing a lot of theater, plays that I love and plays that I don't always love, but you know how it goes. Acting is one of my other passions. I love it the most. It's so fun, and I'm doing it at every opportunity that I can.
I think you should. So when you had to write your essay about what you wanted to learn, what did you want to learn?
I wrote an essay in how I wanted to study storytelling, actually. And I talked about how I wanted to study storytelling across like multiple different mediums. Film included, like drawing and animation, I mentioned, because I like to draw and animate, although I'm still a beginner at animation. And also like acting and performance, and I wrote about how I want to like combine all those interests into like one project, but film really is the easy like umbrella, for all those interests, is what I wrote about.
Yeah. Very cool. That's sort of what I might have guessed based on seeing your work. But you know, who knows? I'm not that could be pure fiction, but it's nice to see that those two worlds really are very intertwined for you. Are those your illustrations behind you on the wall?
Oh, they are. Yeah. These are like drawings I did in my drawing class. They're like it's an artichoke. This one, I don't know if you can see it. It's an artichoke drawn four times. Yeah.
Wow. But maybe the fifth is the charm, or was the fourth the charm? Do you feel like you've mastered the artichoke?
My favorite one is actually the first one I drew, and then I had to draw it four more times. But I like how it turned out. It's very weird. Yeah,
I'm jealous. I would love to be in an art class in college. So I hope you're getting the most out of it. And Jasper, what about you? Why Wesleyan? Are you studying film? What has that experience been like?
Similar to what Luke has said. The probably the biggest factor in choosing Wesleyan was financial. I also got almost a full scholarship to go here, which is life changing, feel very, very grateful for that. It's been good at Wesleyan. I haven't been able to take a production class yet. They regulate that pretty heavily in terms of, I've tried, I've emailed the professors, I have the prereqs, but they're very limiting to solely juniors and seniors, which I think as someone who has a firm belief that really the only way to learn how to be a filmmaker and to get better is to just do it. And it's shaping up to be like a really great education for me, but it definitely has forced me to make sure that we're making things outside of the academic environment, which I think honestly is what I enjoyed. I mean, it's like what we've been doing forever. It doesn't ever feel like work. And I'm worried that even if I did it in a classroom setting, it would lose some of its spark for me. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah, that'll be a really interesting thing to follow, actually, because I'd be curious about that as well. Since you have sort of always done it from an independent perspective, I wonder when there are rules attached or expectations attached, if that will change the approach. First of all, I love that you're emailing professors and trying to get into a class and they're not letting you. That just sounds so counterintuitive. No offense to Wesleyan. I'm sure they have really, really good policies and practices for reasons, but you're trying to get into class and you can't, which just says, I think, so much about you. What my next question was going to be, so you both have these like terrific scholarships to good colleges. How does one go about doing that, right? Like, think about our listeners right now. They're, probably a high school student and they're thinking, well, man, these guys have it. They're living the dream. They've got these scholarships. It doesn't just happen, right? And it's not like, oh, you're a nice guy. Here's a full ride scholarship to a really good school. It's because of what you just said, right? Because you're trying to get into a production class so that you can make movies at school, even though it's against the policy and you're not taking no for an answer. I mean, at some point, I guess maybe you have to.
Right.
So what led to this point where you guys, had this wonderful offer presented to you by these schools? How did that happen? What did you do in high school?
I mean, I think in part it's just getting really lucky, and I think that's kind of how the whole college application process goes. I mean, I applied to 18 schools. I got rejected from all but three, I think.
Oh, wow.
Getting into Wesleyan and getting the amount of money that I did to go was like, well, this is just incredible. I think in terms of like what I did or what we did to like set ourselves up for that was, we had a portfolio of work going into the college application process. It was limited at that point for sure. But I think, as much as you can build a portfolio as a young person and, in high school, it's like, not only like, are you going to just like learn so much, but it does, I guess, also look good for college. I mean, also, financially, our family is very large, and our parents don't necessarily make a lot of money. And so, a degree of it was just like, was our own financial situation, which, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, I think you're very humble, and I respect that. I think you're leaving out probably some pieces that include getting really good grades, probably being very well-rounded, being nice, articulate young men who want to embrace any and all opportunities that are presented their way. I mean, if I'm sitting in that room deciding who I'm giving the scholarships to, I could see being impressed by the way that you guys present yourselves, and probably with your backstory as well. Lucas, favorite thing about your school experience so far, or one of the things that you really like?
Well, there's just so much. There's a lot of freedom at Bennington to do what you want to do, and you don't have to take advantage of it, and then maybe you wouldn't have as great a time. But it's just like so much, like, freedom is what I would say. Like in film classes, it's like there's a very open assignment, like do what you want to do. And if you want to, you can like go out and like ask your friends to act in it and like write this thing and like try to produce it and make it. And then you get to, and then you get like school credit for that. But it's the kind of thing you would want to do anyway. Like, and because you get to like design your own education, like for lack of, because you get to design your own education, it's like, it doesn't really feel like school. A lot of the time, it feels a lot like doing stuff I would want to do anyway. I don't really, like, I have homework and I get stressed out all the time, but the homework is like, draw 3 drawings, like, quickly, and write a screenplay and film your friend doing a weird dance. And then, like, you know, like, it's like so much art making, and it's just so fun. Yeah.
That's really cool. That sounds amazing.
And stressful, but fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's only stressful because you're taking it seriously, because you love it, you know, I mean, if you could care less, then why would you be stressed about it? You know? So I think that says a lot too. Jasper, a favorite thing or something that stands out about your experience thus far?
I mean, it's definitely the people that I've met, the friends that I have. I feel like for the first time, like maybe in my life, I have friends that I like love. I mean, I've loved my friends my whole life, but I have friends that like, that get me and that like accept me and like that love me like just as much as that I love them. And I don't know, I feel like eternally grateful for that. I did not have that last year, our freshman year of college. I did not feel that way. And this year has been like a complete shift. And it like, you know, I was close to dropping out. I was considering it for sure. And then this year switched, and I'm, you know, got close with this group of people that I love with everything that I have. And it's completely changed. I mean, I fully intended to get my degree. And I think that's really just because of people that I've met.
That's so cool. I'm glad it worked out, because I certainly remember my college experience and the number of, you know, my freshman year dorm, the number of guys that were on my floor, and then looking around at graduation so many years later. And there's like 3 of us out of like, I don't know, 20 or 30. And that's just the way it is. You know, it's a big change. And I think a lot of it is those relationships you form that help you feel like you're grounded there. And it sounds like it was a tightrope for a bit. So that's cool that it worked out. I want to take a step sort of all the way back now and sort of discuss some experiences that got you guys to this point, that got you to the point where, you know, I'm watching submissions and I click on one by the Fletcher Boys and it's Rabbit. And I'm like, wow, this is probably going to win. When did you first start making movies? I know that that Rabbit, as I mentioned earlier, was like almost didn't happen. And was am I right? It was like your first like real film project. And here it is, the winner of best overall film at the largest student film festival in the world. That boggles the mind that you were able to sort of do that with your first project. It had to start somewhere before that. Can you walk me through it a little bit, your history with putting a camera in your hand and putting something on the screen?
Yeah, I mean, Luke said my stories are obviously a little different, but they inevitably come together in the end. I think for my story, my part of it, when we were 11, our great grandmother, Dee Dee, she gifted us both iPads for Christmas, or for our birthday, I think, our 11th birthday. And our parents were furious about that. And they immediately took them away. And like, you know, and then it led to a bunch of conversations and okay, they can have it, but they can use these, just God technology, but only if like the only thing that was like accessible, like they disabled all the apps and everything on the iPad. So that all was left was the camera and iMovie. And so I think that's like kind of where that was the first experience we'd both ever had with filmmaking. I mean, at that point it was like, you know, we were making little trailers, like iMovie trailers.
Tell me I can't use this thing and I'm going to use it in any capacity I can to the fullest. I love it.
So, I mean, like, it was like, you know, it was like all we did basically. And it was, we just fell in love with it. And then, I don't know, I think it's at a certain point, like we started having like little family film festivals. Like we would show the things that we made to our family. And I don't know, I think that was the first time, I think, you know, watching other people and enjoy your art and be impacted. I mean, at that point it was, nothing was very emotionally deep, but you know, just people enjoy it is, and like maybe be emotionally impacted is like, was like one of the most beautiful, empowering things that like I'd ever felt. And I think that that's the feeling that I got, I'm speaking for myself, that I got addicted to. And addicted is a hard word, but I mean, like I fell in love with, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's more. Luke can tell maybe the rest of the story.
No, that's a great story. God bless Didi for coming through with those iPads. I mean, exactly. It could have been a very different story if that was like a basketball hoop or something.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Lucas, to your adventures as a young filmmaker?
Yeah, I mean, that was like how it started. And then, you know, I went to high school. We went to high school. We kind of diverged a little bit. I got really in, I like discovered acting kind of in high school. I was like, oh, this is fun. Like maybe I'll do some of this in my spare time. And I always really liked writing, like my whole life. So then like when our like, cause we went to different high schools as part of the story as well. So then like at some point in like junior year, we like kind of like came back together and we're like, hey, we kind of like the same things. What if we like use those like passions to like work together? And then we started making like little skits. Like we would be like, let's make a film in one day. Like we'll brainstorm for 2 hours and then we'll just film it. And then Jazz will edit it because I didn't know how to do that yet. And then, yeah, it was just like really fun. And now it's just like what we do. I don't know.
It's so interesting. It sounds like you sort of had these exercises though. Like you were always sort of oddly focused on getting better or sort of testing yourselves and your creativity, like coming up with these little exercises and projects. And hey, it doesn't hurt that sort of one of you gravitated a little more towards the production elements and one of you was a little bit more gravitating toward the performance. And so these sort of necessary roles were falling into place on their own based on your interests and skills, which I think is really cool. So you guys are from Connecticut, the state everyone forgets.
We're actually from Massachusetts.
Oh, you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Ah, your submission said Connecticut because you were probably a freshman or no, I don't know.
I might have been in Connecticut when I submitted it.
Yeah.
I was, we grew up in Western Massachusetts.
Oh, so everyone knows about Massachusetts, of course. It's not a forgotten state. I know that Rabbit, winner of Best Overall Film last year in 2022, was essentially your first attempt at making a serious film. Were there any experiences in high school? Did you have a film class? I just keep coming back to this idea that like, I watched this film, it's a fully realized project at the highest level for student filmmaking. There had to be something, there had to be some sort of like education involved or no, you just like grabbed a camera and made this movie.
Okay. So, I mean, there definitely was, of course, like some lead up to this. I think, it was, Luke touched on this, but it was very, very crucial that we went to different high schools to then be able to come together, I think.
What prompted that? Why did you go? My sister and I actually went to different high schools as well. It was a weird scenario where like we sort of lived on a line and there was one high school sort of equidistant to the other. Yeah. And I had a choice. I was the younger one. And it was like, well, all my friends are going to this one, so I'm going to go there, even though my sister went to the other one. So it was kind of a simple decision, but definitely a big deal. I mean, we didn't go to the same high school, so maybe we weren't as close or something. What was your story?
I think it was rooted in the fact that, like, you know, being a twin, you're kind of like forever, like, associated with them. It's almost like you're attached at the hip in terms of like how people think about you. And I think that was really hard for me as someone who like wanted to be independent and wanted to be my own person. And I wanted to have my own friends. And I think I think I held some form of resentment towards Luke, like, throughout our childhood.
No.
which, I mean, of course we've overcome, but I think the biggest part of that was I went to the public high school in our town. And Luke decided to go to the performing arts, high school, like 20 minutes away. And I think that time apart and like that ability to kind of really develop into our own people in high school, like apart from one another, was like so critical in us being able to then come together and work collaboratively. Like, we needed to establish who we were, like independent from one another first.
That's absolutely fascinating. And just your self-awareness, both of you, like it definitely informs your art and your storytelling. That's immediately obvious to me hearing these stories, but it's also just like so darn commendable, like that you're able to sort of look at the situation so honestly. Like, yeah, I sort of didn't love being a twin. I wanted to have my own identity. And then to sort of be so open about that, and then to see it all come full circle, probably because of the openness. I don't know. It's just really impressive. It's nice to meet good humans. And you guys are certainly that.
I'm realizing I totally didn't answer your question.
You know, I was just kind of skirting around that. That's my job, but it's okay.
I'm happy to. All right, and Luke can add too. I think so. In terms of like filmmaking, like what I did in high school, and like in terms of building those technical skills, I took my high school had a film program or a film class, and I was enrolled in those. I wasn't like fully interested in it, like as something that I thought I would do in my life. But it was this is something that I enjoy doing. And so I took it, I slacked off entirely. Teacher, his name is Jeremy Whalen. He was like now become, I mean, such a loving mentor to me, in my life and relating to filmmaking. And he would also, I don't know, he might not say that I slacked off, but knowing myself, I slacked off. I think I was around it, but I didn't ever like really make anything for class. That was never something that was exciting for me. I felt very limited by the rules and regulations. But I really enjoyed like editing. I think the love for editing and realize and like manipulating something and creating, you know, like how, you know, this is like the whatever the philosophy of the Soviet montage, but that you can cut something next to something else and that it can create something completely different than those two things independently. And I think that the idea, you know, the emotion that like being able to cut something in music, and, you know, of course, as you like do more and you get better and more familiar with the software, like the things that you're able to do just grows and grows. And I think for me, it was like I had this vision of what I wanted to accomplish in my head. And then like, as I got better at editing and just did more of it, like, it's like almost like you're just getting closer and closer to being able to actually realize the creative vision and like make something that is tangible. And that is like also something that's really empowering. And like, and so it's like, you know, it's a translation of your own psychological whatever. I had dabbled in I didn't really start doing like cinematography or photography until like right before Rabbit.
That's crazy. First of all, you're literally like explaining the philosophy of Rabbit as I interpreted it watching it. And Lucas, it must be a little hard keeping up with this guy. I'm getting that sense that that Jasper's got an engine that he hides very well, but is always running. And hey, good thing that you didn't slack off in acting class, because you know you ground the film with your performance. But it's fascinating. Wow. Like you know, just hearing even how you recognize that really one of the gifts of filmmaking and visual storytelling is that you get to manipulate time and space based on memory and mood. And that's really what you did in this film. And you were sort of aware of it. And I don't know, you just picked up a camera and I guess just saw everything cinematically, like you've been studying it your whole life, because that's the way that the film comes across. That's amazing and very exciting, because I mean, I guess you can only go up from here. I'm just curious. Do you know, it doesn't sound like, you know, I interview a lot of people who, like, you know, they're 5 years old and they're watching like legit classic films and they're just fascinated by them. I'm not gathering that's like a huge part of where you guys are coming from, which just shows that there are many ways to get to the same point. Do you have specific influences? Were there like films or filmmakers that, you know, you're growing up and you wanted to be like them, or they, or even just really admired them and made you want to keep going with this? Lucas, anything particular come to mind?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, the first film that like, I was like, oh my God, film is literally the coolest thing ever. Was the first film I saw was Swiss Army Man by Daniels. That I saw it when I was like a freshman in high school. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I ever saw. This is the best movie ever made. No one will ever make a movie better than it. Daniels, obviously, they just made Everything Everywhere All at Once. And now there's like worldwide sensation. But you know, I liked them before they were cool. So,
I believe also, you. I believe you.
Yeah. And then also, filmmaker Noah Baumbach, I always mess up his name, but he's like my favorite director, and writer. And he makes like contained family dramas that are also really funny and well acted. And that's from like mostly like a lot, especially the writing perspective. His dialogue is stylized, but also realistic. And I just really admire him and I want to be like him. But yeah.
So when you were before you made Rabbit, like growing up, or however we want to phrase it, but like, you know, early high school or something, you were watching a lot of movies and you were interested in what you were watching. Maybe not studying formally, but you were sort of privately.
Yeah. You know, we weren't like, I would definitely not like being like, well, these are the 10 greatest films of all time. Let me watch The Godfather. And then tomorrow night I'll watch, I don't know. Yeah. Another one of those. But like, yeah, we watched movies. We liked movies. Who doesn't, you know? I don't know if I had like realized how much I liked them. Right. I think around Rabbit is when I started realizing. I don't know, Jazz, if you have a different answer.
Well, maybe it takes the production of it to make you even really fully appreciate it. I know that that's certainly the case for me. The more I learn about the craft, the more I appreciate. And sometimes it's annoying, right? Sometimes you just want to like Netflix and chill and turn it off. And it's really hard for me to turn it off anymore because I spend so much of my time analyzing professionally. You start to just see things that way. But what about you, Jasper?
I think I'm also similar to what Luke said, but also, I think it's, you know, I wasn't someone who grew up watching a lot of movies. Our parents didn't show us a lot of movies. I think like the only movie that we saw, the only movies that we had seen before we were like eight or whatever were Mary Poppins and The Lion King. And so like, that's what I thought filmmaking was. I mean, I didn't even think about it as filmmaking then.
It was hard enough to get a laptop or an iPad in your house, you know?
Right. Yeah. Which, I mean, I think I appreciate that and the way that I was raised. But I do think that like, for me, it was like a love of creating, as opposed to like I didn't like watch movies and be like, oh my God, I'm in love with movies, right? Like I need to just watch movies. I mean, I love watching movies and I love the emotion that they evoke in me. But I think more importantly, it was the fact that we really the idea of creating something was just like so much more exciting to us and to me.
It's very personal, and that certainly comes out in your work. And it sounds like even the new documentary, like there's a sort of a trend here towards this just being something that's in your blood, for lack of a better way of saying it. All right. So, I mean, it's clear that we could just talk forever here. And I definitely have a few more questions, but I want to get to Rabbit with some of the time we have left. I love the film. I mean, it was like it came in, and our small crew that watches everything for the first round, it was like immediate. We were like, oh boy, this is going to be tough to top. You know, I hope I did it some justice in my introduction. Where did this film come from? Why did you make this movie?
I think Luke should start with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll start. Jazz, snap in if you feel like I'm saying anything wrong. But we turned 18, and that sucked. At least for me, I was really like feeling anxious about it, which I think makes sense if you've seen the film, but we might feel anxious about that. I wrote this poem, which I'd never written like poems before. Now I write them all the time, but whatever. And I was like, I have this like feeling in my body. And it was actually the day before I turned 18. I was like, I like feel this like immense anxiety. I need to like put it somewhere. So I wrote this poem that was just a poem, but I was like, hey, this like feels like it captures how I was feeling. Like, I'll show it to my mom. I'll show it to Jazz. And then they were like, oh, like nice poem. Like, good job, Luke. And then Jazz and I are talking about, we want to like collaborate on this film. Like, we've been talking about it for a little bit, this whole senior year. We're like, we want to make a film together. What should it be? And, you know, we're like tossing ideas. Nothing's really sticking. I have this idea for the opening scene of that became Rabbit. And then we were like, well, we like this scene, but like, where does it go? Like, why is he like so moody? And I was like, and I think it was actually Jazz's idea that we could like take that scene and put it into context of the poem and like see how it goes from there. And then it kind of just like, came together. We were like, this poem is kind of like the narration of the film, and the film kind of becomes the visual embodiment of the poem. And, you know, the poem like changed and was edited, and parts were cut and parts were added as we like started really like structuring the film. But it really started as like, let's take this poem and this feeling of anxiety and make a film of it. Yeah.
Great answer. Thank you. It certainly feels like a poem. The film is extremely poetic. So that makes sense. And I'm gathering, which I don't know that I really put this together before, but I'm gathering that a lot of the VO is actually the poem, or, you know, slightly changed version of the poem, maybe elevated cinematically or whatever. But that's a lot of what we're hearing is this poem. I can imagine like sitting at the kitchen table and you handing me that. I'm really glad you made a movie about it, but it sounds like it was probably a pretty darn good poem to start. It works. And is this something that you then like turned into a script, or were you just sort of like, bleh, like kind of like rolling this out as you went?
We wrote a half-assed, like narrative treatment of like what we had, but also we hadn't really learned like how to like plan out a movie yet. You know, it was such a learning experience. So we kind of just were like, well, we did write a screenplay. I took like a screenwriting course in school, and I was like, this is so cool. Like, I'll write so many screenplays. And I like didn't do it for 2 years. And then I was like, oh, I want to write a screenplay because I have so much fun doing it. So like I wrote a screenplay, you know, not probably totally the correct format. But yeah, we wrote it, and I kept on like writing like half a screenplay and being like, well, now I'm stuck, so I'm just going to start over. And Jazz was like helping the whole time, like talking about ideas. But eventually there was a final screenplay that we used to shoot. but I don't think it was good enough to shoot, you know, like, if I'm being honest, like the ideas were all in it, but it was like way longer than it should have been. Like, definitely some like bad parts in there too. So we shot the whole thing. And then in the editing, we were like, wait a minute, let's like rethink about this. So there was a script, but I don't think the script totally reflects the end result. Yeah.
Casper, anything to add?
Yeah. I mean, the script is 27 pages and the film is like 16 and a half minutes. So, but we shot it as 27 pages, which was really hard. I mean, for anyone wondering, what got cut was pretty much like the entire middle of the film. And that probably is because, you know, we had this very vivid idea for the beginning and the opening. And like that, like when Luke came up with that idea, I was like, oh yes, like this is the opening for our film. It's such a good like hook, you know, it's going to get you from the beginning. And then we like came up with an end. We knew that he was going to blow out the birthday candle, like a little cupcake. I think, you know, the details of it shifted as the story progressed, but we're like, what are we doing for the middle of this film? Like, how do we make this make sense at all? And so the friends, the character Soren, who Luke plays, is his two friends in the film were much more central to the story in the screenplay. And I think maybe it was just like so much, you know, it was so much naivete about when we were shooting it and like not knowing how to block a scene, a dialogue scene, you know, we like had the tracking shot of the people walking down the alley. And like, as they're having this conversation, it's like, it's just one take of this. And it's like, you know, we kind of just ended up cutting all this meat in the middle of the film. And I think that really helped it, because I think it honed in on really what we were kind of trying to say, in terms of like, I think it became a lot more like a visual and audible psychological representation of this person, of Soren, this character that Luke plays. And I think like that's kind of what it needed to turn into. Also, part of why it needed to turn into that was because when you cut basically all of the dialogue that in a movie, you're left with a lot of, you know, it becomes more
space or room. Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes more experimental. And I think partially because I was just like, okay, this scene needs to cut. So how do I cut the scene? I would just like cut to a shot of underwater something, you know? And so that became this motif throughout it, kind of by accident, that I think kind of, it's like almost, you know, it's like you're taken through this day of this person, but we keep like cutting to like this, his mental state. And, you know, and I think that works with the voiceover, because it's really, you know, it's about his mental state. But yeah, it was really, really difficult we basically had to like recreate this story in the editing room. Which was like maybe the hardest thing that I've ever done. So,
and you told me previously that you almost gave up on it. Pretty seriously, almost gave up on it. I'm grateful that you didn't. I don't get the sense that you guys are the kind of people that will give up on anything easily. I will say that it's interesting to have the perspective of the secondary characters, primarily being cut out of what you intended initially. You know, the thing is, they're still a pretty big part of the story. And I think it's just so important that we get enough of them. We just need to know the sense of he has friends, he is loved. And I think that makes the trauma of the internal conflict that much more emphasized. Because when you know someone is loved and has friends and they still can't escape themselves and this thing that they're going through, it makes it all the more powerful. Well, you could just, why are you worrying about it? You got friends, you've got a life. You're telling jokes about the dentist. Like, things are normal. Like, but they're not. They're not. And they're not okay. And yeah, maybe it's a little melodramatic, but like, so life is sometimes, and we all have that inside of us. And it really comes across. And if the symbolic imagery that permeates the film was a happy accident, I know it wasn't. I know that that's just not how it works. It kind of is. I get it, but it's not. and you had to make those decisions, and you had to put it on camera. It bolsters the film's tone so much. And it just, I don't know, I kind of felt like this is what I felt like when I was 18. And man, I was being stupid and dramatic and overthinking everything and not respecting my parents. But that's kind of how it is. And the fact that you captured that is beautiful. And I'm grateful.
Well, thank you for saying that. That really means a lot.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part of making the film?
Well, I mean, I think I told
you. I have so many answers.
Tom, I might have told you this story.
Yeah, but you didn't tell our listeners, so go ahead.
Yeah. The thing that comes to mind for me, and you touched on this in terms of when we almost gave up on this film, it was the last thing we were shooting for Rabbit. We were going to wrap, you know, after this scene, and we had to shoot the underwater scene. And so for those,
thank you for that, by the way. It's been an asset for our highlight reels and things.
that was honestly maybe the thing that I was most excited to shoot. I mean, no one taught us how to do it. I was kind of just like, okay, how can we make this work? And so we were like, okay, we're going to shoot in a pool. We're going to shoot in the nighttime so we can kind of control the light more, and we're going to get a spotlight and we're going to shine it directly into the water. We want to create kind of maybe some rays or some patterns, you know, and like color grade the crap out of it to make it look maybe almost abyss-like. That was kind of the vision going into it, but you know, actually getting into the pool at midnight and shooting this thing was like the hardest thing that I've had to work myself up to doing. And I think partially because, you know, when we're filming, and you know, it's very, we filmed this, we had two crew members. We had our friend Jonah doing audio, and actually that was the only crew member. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I was going to ask that question, but it was, you basically had no one.
Yes. But we had to, you know, we hadn't eaten anything all day. I hadn't eaten anything. Cause you know, when you're hyped up on like the excitement of filming something, you have no time to eat, which you always have time to eat and everyone should be eating when they're on their film set. But we weren't. And so we were just like the grumpiest versions of ourselves. And I was like, I cannot do this. Like, we need to give up. Like, this is bad. I mean, at that point we hadn't, you know, I hadn't looked at much of the footage. Like we had no idea what it was. It's like, am I going to spend months, like hours and hours editing this film? Like, this is kind of crap. And it was like, we should just give up kind of. And thank God no one in the room let me do that, because, you know, that someone made me a frozen tamale. And I had a cup of chai and I got in that pool. We got in that pool and we filmed for like 2 hours. Maybe it was exhausting, cold. We did the same, you know, I bought this like really, really cheap, sketchy underwater camera case. And we filmed we used the same camera that we used for the whole rest of the film underwater. And it was like, we're trusting this case, but it was like basically impossible to use. Like, I had no visibility underwater. And we just did it over and over and over and over again, taking the camera out of the bag to check the footage and then getting back in and doing it again and doing it again, and doing it again. And that was the hardest thing. That was the hardest part of the project for me.
That's how it happens. Yeah. All right. What part are you most proud of? And it's, again, I have a little bit of perspective here because we talked about it. Like, you guys have already moved on from this film. I hope I'm giving you pause on that, just by, you know, the things that I'm saying about it, what it means to our community. You know, if you just think about the people who are listening to this show, going and watching it for the first time and being like, whoa, like, how do I get there? I hope that gives you a bit of a pause on moving on from it so fast. And I know it'll always be a part of your journey, and it really is a terrific film, but what are you most proud of?
Do you want to take that one, Luke?
Do you have something? I'm kind of trying to think about it. Well, I'm proud of a lot of it. You know, I think like the shots, I still like, while I don't think it's exactly how we would do it today, I still think it holds up in a lot of ways, you know? Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like, especially where we are, we're just like, our taste is changing so quickly, and our ability is growing. And it's like looking back on it, it's like, well, we could have done this differently and that differently. And it's hard to be like, well, what am I proud of?
Out of fairness, that is such a normal thing for any artist, right? You're always like already somewhere else when you finish the last thing. And you hear that with so many directors and writers, you know, it's like you change so fast. And it's like, well, that was that project like way back then, but now I'm this creator. So by no means, I don't think it's like spoiled that you've moved on from this. I think it's completely normal. But I want to force you to be proud of it still. And I know that you are. So sorry for the interruption, but what are you proud of?
No. I mean, like when you write a thing and then you get to see it, it's really cool. And that's just like, that's like the first time I really experienced that. And I'm like proud that it feels realized in a lot of ways. And, you know, some scenes did not feel realized and are not in the film. I think the thing I feel the most, I don't know if this is like cheating, but most people that I've talked to that have seen it get it, and not everyone gets it, and sometimes I'm not even sure like I totally get it, because it is weird and not always clear and explicit, but like the feeling that we were like so like trying to push and like create through the visual and the sound and a little bit of the acting, you know, like all that feeling that of like dread and like maybe a little emo, but you know, that came through and people got that for the most part. And when like I talk to people and they're like, well, yeah, like that feeling, I know that feeling, I'm just like proud that it came through.
Very
and
cool.
That I love part that of the answer. Film worked.
Yeah. I love that. You know, it's funny, time is an illusion, right? And yet we put all this meaning into turning 18 and somehow you captured that. It's silly and profound. And that's the kind of oxymoron that life is, right? That our whole little rotation here is. It's a palpable film. And I definitely got it for what there was to get, or whatever, you know, part of me that it resonated with. With a little bit of time left, I just want to have a few more questions here. What advice do you have for someone who's listening? Look, you guys, you've had an interesting path to where we are today talking. You made a terrific short film and won the big award. You obviously are, I think you mentioned it, addicted to this for whatever it's worth. And I don't sense that you're going to stop anytime soon. And that's really important to me. I don't think you should stop. I think you're naturals. I think you have a very high ceiling. If you're a young filmmaker listening to this and you're, you know, maybe in your high school classroom and your teacher's got the episode on, and you just want to know, like, what should I do? What do I need to know to sort of keep going in the vein that these guys have kept going? What advice do you have for our community?
I think this is an idea that gets talked about a lot, but I would further stress it. If you want to do this, like, for real, and you like really love this, just do it. Don't like, you know, we shot on our phones for the first 3 years of dabbling in this. And it's like, that's all valuable. Like, don't wait until you have like access to a cinema camera. Like, no one cares. Like, it's way more about, I mean, honestly, and it's funny because, so we just had, a TikTok about Rabbit actually go viral, which was funny accident.
Please send me that.
I will. But it, you know, it has like almost 4 million views now and a million likes. And there's so many comments and everyone's like, what camera did you shoot on? Like, tell me the camera that you shot on. And it's like, what I want to say is like, it's really not about the camera you shoot on. I think, I mean, from a technical standpoint, it's way more about the color grading in terms of looking professional and looking cinematic. I have no formal practice in color grading, just YouTube videos and trying stuff out. But I think like you're only going to learn by making something. And it's like, if you're waiting until you're a senior in college to make your first film, it's going to be bad. Your first film is going to be bad. You know, I mean,
okay. So look who's talking here. I totally understand what you're saying. And it, look, Rabbit may have been your first fully realized film, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
There's steps that you need to take on the way that, like, you need to mess up. You need to, I mean, I think, and Rabbit is riddled with mistakes. And like, there have been times where I look at it, I'm even embarrassed. I'm like, oh my God, like, there's so many mistakes in this film. But but now I feel like so sure that the next thing we make won't have those mistakes. I mean, it'll have new mistakes, but it won't have the same mistakes we made before. And I think that that's so important in terms of getting better. It's like, how do you get here? It's like, you just got to do it, and you got to mess up, and you got to try to do it a little bit differently the next time.
Yeah, it's such good advice and very humble advice. And look, obviously, my job is, I'm not like watching Rabbit to talk about it on this program to highlight the flaws. You know what I mean? I'm going to look for the strengths of it. Sure, it's not perfect. And no director is going to ever say that their work is perfect. I don't care how many accolades it receives. Really good advice. Lucas, any advice for our community?
I mean, yeah, like, keep doing it if it's like what you love, and like, make things that you like. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, don't waste your time on like a project that you don't like, or like, you don't feel passionate about. Like, the way you're gonna like make a thing that is good is by really caring about it. Like, I feel like I've done like so many, especially, I mean, as like an actor, I've done like so many performances that I'm like, oh, I don't even like care about this show, or I don't even care about it. And then my acting is worse. Like, but with filming, and like, if you're writing it yourself, you get to like decide the idea. So like, really choose something that you love and that you're excited about. And also, you're less likely to give up on it if you're really excited about it. But stick with it. Have fun. It should be fun. It should be like hard and difficult. And again, yeah, the mistakes are going to come in many mistakes are going to come all at once, but like, find the fun parts as well. I don't know.
It's so interesting that you talk about that. It's like, try to take control of your destiny as much as possible, which just sounds so silly, because why wouldn't you be able to, right? It's easier said than done. And I find myself like worrying about that so much with my own two sons. Like, I just want them to understand, like, literally, you can do what you want to do in this life, but you just have to do it a lot and really work hard at it and be passionate about it. You can't just like think it's going to fall into place. It's like a double-edged sword in that way. I was driving around yesterday. I had to take my wife to a doctor's appointment, and I work from home. I do my own thing. I'm incredibly grateful for it. I'm very passionate about it. Otherwise it would not work. You know, it's not like anyone could do what I do and just fall into it. It happens to work for me. But I drive around sometimes, like during the day when I'm out, and I just look at like office buildings, like little doctor's office buildings or strip malls or wherever it might be. And people like going to a job and parking in that parking lot and sitting behind a desk doing the same thing. And I just feel so sad. I can't imagine. And if that's what you want to do, and I'm sure there's tons of people doing those jobs. I'm totally oversimplifying it, of course, right? That go to those jobs and they're passionate and they're helping people or whatever it might be. But man, what you're describing is like, if you found a way to do this and to do it with stories that really mean something to you, what a gift, you know? Find a way to keep doing it. And I'm sure along the way, you're going to have to do a lot of other things, and it's not going to just be like, you know, a rocket to stardom and financial security and all of those things. But none of that matters if you're doing what you want to do, you know? And I certainly hope that you guys will continue on that path. I like to leave our listeners with recommendations. And I always say that this is a bit selfish because I want the recommendations too. It can be anything at all. Maybe something you're listening to, maybe a film that you watched recently, a film or a show that you're looking forward to. Give me something on your radar that will give a little more insight into what you like and what you're excited about. Whoever wants to go first.
In terms of a film that I would recommend that like really it really spoke to me or is The Worst Person in the World that came out last year or two
years
ago.
I almost watched that last night for the record, but now I'll try to watch it tonight.
I mean, it's, I think I would say that it's my favorite film that I've seen today. I mean, that changes obviously all the time, but there's something, there's just like a realness about the, like the dynamics. And like, I think I speak for both of us when I say that, like the kind of films that we're interested in making are about real people and real relationships. And it's like, we're really interested in authenticity, and it's like, how can you make, like, you know, because you can feel that, you can feel the authenticity in a film, and when there's not that, you know, and it's like, how can we, and I think that this The Worst Person in the World is like a really, really fabulous example of a film that does it in a way that works.
That's awesome. That's absolutely my favorite thing, is if not, it's probably my favorite thing, but certainly one of my most favorite things about cinema is I love the authenticity aspect of it. I like when things are very real. And it's funny, even a film like Rabbit, if it wasn't rooted in very real things, the dream of it wouldn't work, you know? So it can go in a lot of different directions. Lucas, something on your radar?
Oh my God. I have so many things in my head, but, I want to say, A Ghost Story, which is a film from 2016, directed by David Lowery, I want to say. Yeah. And it's this, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. It's one of my favorite films. If you're looking for like visual storytelling, it's awesome. The cinematography is like maybe one of my favorite cinematography things ever. And I don't want to spoil it. So yeah, you should watch that. Or also like any Noah Baumbach film. They're all pretty good. And I like those films. Yeah.
On my list, I have not seen A Ghost Story, I don't think. So now I've got a couple of things to watch this weekend. Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Jasper and Luke, or what is it, Jazz and Luke? Is that the brother lingo?
That's what we call each other. I mean, it's yes. And you, Tom, you can call us that, of course.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah. So anyway, Jasper and Lucas, I'll be formal. I want to thank you for an insightful glimpse into your experiences and motivations as storytellers. I certainly encourage everyone listening to check out Rabbit and any other links we're able to put in the description. And of course, thanks to all of you for tuning in and joining us. I remind you that this is just one of many conversations with the future of film. You can go to hsfilmfest.com for more information on the All-American High School Film Festival. And please subscribe and share across all platforms to support our important community of artists. Jasper, Lucas, love it, man. You guys aren't too far away. I hope we can find a way to get together in person at some point soon. I'm a big fan, and I'll be following closely.
Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I mean, I said at the beginning, but like really just like a shock. Like, no, we didn't expect any of this to happen. And I think that's in big part due to you and your festival. And I think that like, I would encourage anybody to give it a shot. I mean, it's like really opened so many doors. I mean, mental doors and figurative doors in our lives in terms of this.
I appreciate that. And I'm happy that we could be here to help push you along on this crazy journey. Thank you, Fletcher Boys. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you next time.